हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 41.
Oh, yeah.
Are you good? You didn't get lost?
No.
Okay, we're still in that first paragraph.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
That's take number four.
yes, okay. Well, we are on the last sentence.
Or not.
Yeah. But I was thinking to go back and look at it also from the points of mind with mind, mind with intelligence, and mind with false ego. Mm. But let's see how it goes. Through the faculty of reasoning, all material and mental sciences have been developed. Right, so this last point, the faculty of reasoning. So this fifth function is called reasoning, right? The mind meaning is derived from the conglomeration of impressions, right? So you've had all these impressions, and then from that you try to derive meaning, like, you know, what does all these impressions mean? What are they? But as we so, that's the reasoning power. That's where all material and mental sciences have been developed, right? So all your physical sciences and all the mental sciences. So all your physics, your sociology, psychology, all these have come from this kind of reasoning. Right? Now the difficulty is here, so we can say, okay, yes, this is science, but then the problem is all the material and mental sciences have come from this, but this last stage, that's where you're trying to derive meaning from the conglomerate of impressions. So how do you do that? Well, I mean, what meaning will you give? You know what I'm saying? There's so many facts there, so what do you decide on it? I have a pile of apples, okay? I bring a cow. What is that pile of apples?
Food.
Okay. I bring a dog. What is that pile of apples?
Not interesting.
Huh? Yeah, at best the toilet, okay? But other than that, it's not something to eat. Just isn't, right? Does that make sense? You know, if I bring an old grandmother with an oven, what is it?
Pie.
Yeah, okay? So, yeah, you understand? Like that. You know, and then you have a bunch of kids, no one else is in the house, and they feel like a fight. Right? You know? Yeah. So, what is it based on?
False ego.
False ego. See, that's the thing, is that's what Brahma Vimalakirti in the previous point made, is that this final point of reasoning, where you accept and reject, because you're trying to make some reasoning out of it and come to a conclusion, that's based on your ego. Right? So that means you open with your conditioning and you close with your conditioning. Right? It means in between the intelligence is there, though it is also part of the conditioning, but the intelligence can look at it from actually an objective point. So people will think, I'm being objective. No, you're not. Why certain facts you picked is subjective, and what conclusion you came to is subjective. In between, you may have played with it in an objective way, but you're actually, it was subjective because you want to have the fun of playing with it. Does that make sense? Right. So that's the weakness to all material and mental sciences. Even though they are very developed, they're developed on observation, but only the observation that these people are interested in. Right? I mean, until a few years ago, the whole mental science is based on Freud. Right? Even now, so much is based on Freud. Though they'll say it's not based on Freud. But Freud was only interested in crazy people. Right? And it was all based on lust. So in one sense, you can say, yes, the material world's all based on lust. But he specifically, lust meaning sensual. Right? So the whole science is based on that. So that means there are previous samskaras of that. If you go to school, that's what they're going to teach you. You get 4 years of that or 5 years of that. And then a boy, your own values, you're going to place on that. So where actually is the science? There's been a lot of observation. That you have to give them credit for. Tons and tons and tons of observation. But in reality, what is ended up with, it's faulty. That's why we say is that you can't base truth on the senses. Right? You can base it on shastra, shabda. And then when you can see it with your senses, then it's confirmed. Because one would say, no, but you're seeing it with the senses. But there's so many options you can see from the senses. Senses just see. Remember, the senses are connected to the intelligence. The mind is operating them on what to do, but it's being actually mechanically run by the intelligence. You know, like we said, you have the driver of the car, the chauffeur. He's managing the car, but the guy in the back seat is telling him where to go. Does that make sense? You know, or in the Gita example, is the horses are pulling the chariot, but it's the reins that control them. So the work's being done by the intelligence. So you could say it is just facts. But the problem is it's the mind, which is biased, that is managing it. Right? So the point is it's not that the problem that the mind is choosing. It's just a matter of why it's choosing. If it's choosing connected to Krishna, then it's great. Then it's your best friend. But if it's choosing not connected to Krishna, then it's your worst enemy. Right? So then, let's see how this goes.
All right. So this is me.
Go ahead. I mean, do you guys sit around and work it out, like just on the timing?
Yeah.
I say it's like this, no, and then it's like this. It's always just at that moment, you know. It's like, now he's gonna. This is my last chance, so you know. No, go ahead. I'm just saying. It's just funny. I've noticed over this last week that it's specifically.
That's in the mind, so, and actually put it together.
Yeah. It's because you know, because there's some pressure, you know. So I mean, it's good. You get lots of exercise, you know. And we are reading Shastra, right, you know, like that, and it is kind of a bit of a wall, so, you know, it works, you know. There's technically called Davanams. Yeah, you're doing this. You can also put in these ones, but it doesn't work for reading. You know, so.
Okay, so the question would be, so this is the mechanics to the sentence we always read, the senses are imperfect.
The senses are imperfect, or when we say mental speculation. It's the same means. The senses are imperfect because they themselves aren't pulling in necessarily all the information. And then it's going through the mind that's picking and choosing according to its pleasure. Right? So even if you analyze it nicely, still you're only analyzing what you're given. If you're only given part of the facts, if you analyze it really well, it still doesn't mean you come up with a great answer. You know, and then you have on top of that your ego. You know what I'm saying?
There are two elements. You don't have the complete field, and you choose according to your ego.
Yeah. So it's the senses aren't perfect themselves, and then the mind speculates with it. So this is the mechanics of that whole thing. So even though we see it's because it's called reasoning, but the interesting part is when the mind is mixed with ego. That's when we call it reasoning. So I'm saying we're using the intelligence, of course, because right from the second point, you know, we're using intelligence, but it's just which one is prominent. It's like mind's all the way through, ego's all the way through, and intelligence is all the way through, but which one's prominent? Does that make sense? Because your past impressions, that's what you identify with. You know what I'm saying? So it's there, but the point is it's still the mind is choosing those things. Right? The intelligence is working, otherwise how do the senses pull in information? Right? And so it's working all the way through. And in the end, you're discerning. So it appears to be intelligent. But you're discerning on your own menu. Right? So that's the point. Do you make up what you discern from, the standard, or do you get it from Shastra? You know what I'm saying? So if we get it from Shastra, that's when we feel, oh, I'm restricted. You know, where's the real me? How do I express myself? But who is this? Who is this express? Who is this myself one's trying to express? Right? Yes.
So is this always illusion that you can draw conclusions from facts?
Yes. Always. Unless it's based on Shabda, on Shastra. Then you can do something. So that's why we always start with Shabda. The point is to bring it to where you can see it with your senses, because that's called realization, right? Why would I be able to see it? Shastra says one thing, why am I going to be able to see it? Because then I'm discerning, my past impression is the Shastra. And my discerning and that reasoning is going to be based on Shastra. So that beginning and end is Shastra. And the Shastra always gives us these outlines and ways to analyze things. Right? So that means all three of these major stages, you're using Shastra. So that's Shastra Chakshus. You understand? That's why analyzation is important. It's not just enough to get the emotions going. That's good. People do things and all that, but it's not necessarily they can maintain it, or they can impress others, or they can get into the fine points in their own life. Does that make sense? You know, if someone can inspire someone else, that's good. But if they don't know why they're inspired, how do they maintain it? Because it's self-realization. It should be you can. You, of course, you have to have the association of the devotees. But it should be you're able to contemplate and yourself be convinced. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So
you can say.
So the whole science is actually their false ego?
It is their false ego. Because otherwise, why is in some of their cases there's no God? Right? They're so intelligent, and everything that is functioning is because of some intelligence. But somehow or another, this whole world, which is so much, way greater than any means, they're trying to find the formula of the world. It's so much greater than their intelligence can comprehend. They've caught parts of that formula. That formula applied here, that formula applied there. But what's the original formula that they all function from? Right? They can't get at that. And they had to use their intelligence very hard to get at it. Right? And then they do something from there, they apply that formula in their own synthetic way, and then they get some result. But somehow or this whole world is just by chance. So then we could say it's only by chance that, you know, that their intelligence came across something. So it actually has nothing to do with their intelligence. It's just chance, because so many intelligent people are thinking, they're not coming up with the answer. They came up with an answer, so it's just chance. So no credit goes to their intelligence. They get the credit, they just happen to be standing at the right place at the right time. You know what I'm saying? But their false ego won't allow this. I mean, their false egos are extremely, extremely big. You know, but, does that make sense? It means if you ever talk to dyed-in-the-wool psychiatrists and physicists, they're some of the most, you could say, non-social and dysfunctional people on the planet. They're just totally. Because it's all about themselves. They're so self-centered. It means they're exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about, that it's all about them and using everything for their own benefit. They're so good at it. You can't even talk to them. You know? You just can't. They're really, 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 as persons, as part of a relationship, terrible, terrible people. Like that. Because their ego is so big. So that's why they can't actually learn anything, because their ego is what makes the final reasoning. So there's so much they could gain, but they can't, because they're so proud. So you see, it's when there's a time when the ego's less, then there's a progress in the science. And then when they get so much of this, so that becomes their background, and then therefore they're very confident, they're reasoning, then the whole thing kind of stops. Because they can't function anymore. And then it'll go on for some time because they're the oldest guys, they got the chair, right? And, you know, they don't follow the system of going to the forest. So you have to wait for them to die, right? And unfortunately, their dysfunctionality also somehow or another, they're quite regulated. So they unfortunately live longer than you would hope they would. Right? Right? And so therefore, then you have to wait. And then finally, when enough of them die off that the next generation can come up, then you see that there's a whole spark of new information, new this and that, because it's just the ego. And then those same people that were the new and fresh, you know, give it 30, 40 years, they'll be in the chair, and they're the guys that stop everything from moving forward. Right? But it is just material knowledge.
New mantra.
No. She's good at that. It's just the focus.
Yeah, Maharaj, this is somebody having or not having read the shastras.
Someone having or not having?
Yeah, where is the base or what are the main factors for this?
What is the base of the main factors? Whether you know, they're willing that they're not the center of the universe or they are the center of the universe. That's generally your first one if you're talking about in the West. You know? And whether they're willing to regulate themselves according to some authority or not. In other words, if they have authority issues, they'll always have problem with Shastra. The two go together. They go hand in hand. You know, either authority issues means they have issues with authority, or they have issues about that they are the authority. You know, so in either way, they're generally the group that has the most problem with Shastra. Then other groups is that they don't really think about it because they're too busy making money or trying to, you know, find themselves. Does that make sense?
Some pious credits, what they mean, or
pious credits are good. Maybe we've made contact with the aliens.
Some arrived.
Yeah, we heard that one before.
You know, those tinfoil hats. Stop them. The waves coming through, and then the mantras may stop.
Could be. Yeah. I think the proven one was, how you said, one old style of, I think, 1940s music. That seemed to be the real, real thing that was. Yeah, or was that earlier? That was 40s or 30s? So.
Okay. So we can say that we're conditioned.
We can say we're conditioned. Very astute.
Go on.
Yes? Go on. We're listening. Or should I say, mm-hmm?
And that means that we can see Shastra only through our false ego as well. So whereas, how can we surpass that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
I should have a couch for those who want to ask questions.
Okay.
Then you ask, how would you like to?
Yeah, of course. You know, how to keep the open-ended question. How would you like to end this? Probably with a cricket bat up the side of your head. And why your cricket bat? They're heavier than baseball bats. That's why we bring it in line with Shastra. Conditioning, see, the main element is what we were discussing before in what was coming up in the Jiva Dharma, is that he's bringing it into that level, that Vedantic level of how everything is the Lord. So conditioning actually means that we don't see it in connection with the Lord. If we see it in connection with the Lord, we don't really call it conditioning. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is a Kshatriya, we don't call that conditioning. You understand? You don't call it that. Because all it is you're using what facilities are available to engage in the Lord's service. Yeah, does that make sense? So then whatever that happens to be, whatever position you are in, and whatever reason that you're in that, that's another thing. But technically for discussion, we'll say your conditioned nature. Right? But the conditioning is that you've conditioned yourself to think that the material world's eternal, it will give happiness here. You know, that by engaging the senses and the sense objects, I will find happiness. You know, all these kind of elements are there. So the thing is when we recognize authority in the form of, you know, guru, sadhu, and shastra, then we start the process of actually starting to see it in its correct position. So when we see it actually according to how it's given by guru, then it's not conditioning anymore. You're still using the same mechanics, right? But now you're using them properly. You know, it's just like the person is cooking, but he's not cooking for Krishna. Now he learns about cooking for Krishna, so he uses the same method, but now he cooks for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So one is just the karmi, you know, engaged in sinful activity. The other is engaged in devotional activity. Because it's a reflection. That's what he's saying. So it's the same thing. It's still Krishna. It's just whether you recognize as Krishna or not. I'm running the whole thing and thinking, oh, I'm doing this. That's because the body's doing it. But am I the body? So if I'm not the body, I'm not doing it. Right? If I'm the body, I'm doing it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we switch, is that instead of I'm the body, I'm doing this, so because I'm doing it, I get the results. Is I'm not the body, so actually I'm not doing it. I'm only assisting in that potency that's doing it. So therefore, how can I assist in a way that's favorable to Krishna? Right? Because even though we're the assistant, you do it the way the assistant likes. It's according to the rules of whoever. Just like, let's say, you know, you have an adult and a kid. Okay, now they're hungry. Right? So now you're going to say, okay, what do you want to eat to the kid? And then he'll choose on that, but it still is going to be within the category that the adult is comfortable with. Right? Is that? But it goes along with that. So the point is even though we're just the assistant, it still goes in that way because it's the Lord's pastimes are unlimited. So what part we're taking part in, it's not a problem. We're thinking, no, but it has to be, what has God, you know, he just wants you to be engaged in the service. It's not that it has to be this exact specific thing, because all these things are. Like one devotee was telling me today is that he'd just taken sannyas, and then he was offered to take out the boat, and they had to come along, you know, because he was involved with it before, to, I think, preach in Bangladesh, to preach in Burma. And I forget. Oh, and then there was an option to do something in Panihati. So he was confused. What should I do? Oh, I think it was also distribute Gita Gans, like that. There was all kinds of things. So he went to Prabhupada and said, you know, and explained to him what's there. And Prabhupada said, they're all nice because they're all connected to Krishna. You know, what's the problem? You know, does that make sense? But, and so then it's just a matter of, if they're all nice, then it's just a matter of is one more important at the particular moment. Right? Does that make sense? So that's how it's decided. So we can assist in all these unlimited pastimes of the Lord. So whichever one we like to assist in, that's the one we're involved in. Someone else wants to do something, they're involved in that. Because all these are going on. Right? Krishna said, I've already killed everybody on the battlefield. You know, so now it's just Arjuna. He didn't kill everybody on the battlefield. But the ones that Arjuna killed on the battlefield, he took part of that aspect of the pastime of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? There's others killed also. Bhima killed, I mean, especially the elephants. You know, Bhima was out there. He did his fair share with the elephants. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that it's not a problem. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Better than the start.
Better than the start. Okay. And would you like to explain why it was better than the start?
You can skip that.
And why would you feel better by skipping it? You're doing okay? Okay.
Okay. Very professional.
It's just to catch the kind of technique. Once you got that, it's very easy. It's too easy because they don't use their brain. It's just habit.
Never ask anything that could be answered by yes or no.
Yeah.
You can leave a recorder on going hit some
of course and then come back in the right time. Okay, so here. Okay, so let's try to see if we can go through this in one line. Okay, thus the first function of the mind, the internal sense, gathers data from the external world, right? So the mind then with the senses. Okay, then the mind by its second function places the data in memory, but there's unlimited data coming in, but they only choose once. So that's by the previous samskar, right? So that's going to be very much the mind and all that. But at the same time as the previous samskar is the identity and all this, but it's the mind is choosing what to do here.
Based on the values?
Yeah, it'll be based on values, because otherwise,
The values will also be based on previous samskaras.
Yes, it's just like we said, the child is touching something hot, but there's no previous experience. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't want to get hurt. Mm-hmm. It has that value, but it doesn't know that extreme heat hurts. Mm-hmm. But after the first time, now that's there in the memory as, there. But it's still, the mind is still choosing the values, right? Okay? That's the first one. Then the mind, by second, places the data in the memory, right? So now it's touching on intelligence. So it's gone from senses to the intelligence. By the third function, the mind, by combining and separating the data, produces impressions, right? Combining and separating. So that's the what is that? Vikalpa and sankalpa. No, that vikalpa, that's the mind. What is it? Sama and yakti or something like that. There's another term for it, but it means putting it together and taking it apart. What's the common elements? What's the differences? So now you're using just straight mind with the directly intelligence, not just the sub-factor of the memory. Now it's the intelligence is now taking that previous means what is coming in from the senses now with this previous samskaras from the memory. Now that combination, now it's putting things together and taking it apart. Okay, this new information and my previous information, where do they group together? Or what's different about it? Right?
What exactly is it meant by impressions? Produces impressions?
Impressions, because you have something and you just have a rock, but what is it to you? Mm. You know what I'm saying? What does it mean?
Again, values.
So that's why something that has no meaning, you don't even notice. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you go into the Louvre, right? I say it right? Okay. Then the mother is there with her friends, and they're looking around and this and that. And then the kid is there doing what they do, and then somehow they didn't notice the parents run off. He's just looking around for his mother. He's wandering past, all these amazing art forms that people from all over the world would die to be able to see. And for them, it's just the place where they lost their mom. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that they don't see them, it just has no value to them. So based on your past impressions, you actually see things or not. So that's when we say the impressions is when we say what you see is what you actually register. Because otherwise, there's so many things you can see. Right? The senses are bringing in, I think in modern science, they say 40,000 bits of information a minute is coming in from all the senses. So the mind has to reduce that down to one. Right? So therefore the eyes are looking for something. It looks the shape of your mom. Right? And Mona Lisa doesn't look like that. So therefore, who cares? Right? You know, so therefore you go by. Right? In fact, it's an annoyance because there's so many people standing there, so you have to go all the way around, right? You know, does that make sense? Well, in the, you know, the area where the impressionists are and that, nobody's there, so it's very easy to go through. And that's actually the better part of the museum, right? You know? Yeah. So, yeah, so then there it's just the direct intelligence. Then by the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to the qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. So now it's again the intelligence, but then the mind here has that element of classifying it. So the intelligence is shown as classification, but the mind has accepted those classifications. So we see at all times the mind is still making decisions. Right? But these are all preliminary decisions to the fifth one, which is your final decision. Right? Because you need some information, enough information to make a decision. So you're making first decisions on what information to base your decision on. Right? Okay. By the fourth, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity, right? Because you put it in the little boxes then. Then it isolates particular items to increase the number again by further analysis. Then from within the boxes, now I take which ones I want. First, I don't know what to do with it. I take it, I put it together until I have my nice little boxes. Then I take what I feel is important from those boxes and then again try to see what I can do with it. All right? Then by the fifth function, so here again the intelligence is putting things together and taking apart. By the fifth function, the mind meaning is derived from the conglomerate of impressions. So those things that I see, then now based on my ego, I'll make my final decision. Right? Mm-hmm. Then after that, then the senses are engaged. Right? Mm-hmm. In other words, what the senses are bringing in, that's where we start number one. And then number five will be what will therefore go out to the senses. Right? Does that make sense? So before we were discussing this as five stages, but what we've done here is the middle three has been expanded into five. Right? We've shown Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given more detail. Right, because he's shown how the mind, you know, tries to bring it down, you know, put it. Combine it and separate it, then put it into categories, then again analyze it again, and then the reasoning on top of that. You know, because then the other is the simple is this: the mind is just choosing some things from past impressions on what is taken from the senses, what's put into memory. Then the second is intelligence is analyzing it. Third is decision is made from the false ego, right? And then again the senses are engaged. Right, but we see here is that third part, that's what's called reasoning. The part with the false ego. So now we say reasoning, but that's the part done with the false ego. Right? And just where we put it together and take it apart, that's actual intelligence, but no decision is made. Right? So even though the academics will say we don't come to a conclusion, it's only, you know, how you say, objective. They have to, otherwise why would it come out their mouth? You know, they're not sitting and go, well, you could do this and that, and then possibly that and that, and this and that, and that. I mean, how long do they do that for? And then the other part, yeah, we could do this and that, and then they sit together for hours doing that with each other and all that, and wow, that was really nice intellectual exercise. No, they have to come to a conclusion, which is based on their false ego. But due to their false ego, they won't call it a conclusion. It's just obvious, of course. I'm so intelligent, and because I'm intelligent, therefore anything I reason must be pure knowledge. So therefore, it's objective. But that's false ego. Because it's based on their ego. So one could say, no, but you're doing that also. But yes, everybody, that's the mechanics of the mind. The point is we see ourselves as servant of God, and the original impression is gained from Shastra. Right? And so therefore, we're planning to apply it according to Shastra. So we're working according to authority. So that is objective, because objective means it's God's view. Anybody else's view is subjective. Right? So if your view is in line with God's view, that's objective. Anything else is subject.
Mm. The emotions would get in number two through the bodies?
Means that's where you would start. That's where you'd start. But you would also see it then in the fifth one. Yeah. Because in the middle, that's just analyzing it. So there won't be any emotions there. It will be based on past impressions and the element of the ego. It's not that they're not bleeding through. That's why you might choose one direction over another and moving through it. But it's just which one is the most prominent at the time. You know, so when you enter into it, it's based on emotion. When you exit from it, it's based on emotion. So that's why it's faulty. That's why it must be based on the Vedic authority. Otherwise, the process, though mechanically the same, is faulty. You know, it's just like cooking for Krishna is perfect. Cooking not for Krishna is faulty. So using this function of the mind not for Krishna, that's faulty. And using it for Krishna is perfect. That's all. Yes.
Once the information has entered in the memory, either through the senses or through the shabda.
No, it's a matter of what you do with it. It's going to come in. Information is going to come in through the senses.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes.
Now it's how you view that. Is it based simply on previous sensual or emotional elements? You know, or is it, you know, or on profit or power or liberation, or is it based on, you know, the authority of the shastras, you know, for us, then based on bhakti? Right? Because you can also use the shastra, because when we say shastra here, we mean devotional. Right? But even if you don't, you just use it, then it's the mode of goodness. Right? So it's pious. So then the previous impressions are because of piety, but that's because of the false ego, I'm a pious person. Right?
This does make sense. The question, what I was wondering is in this sequence, is the intelligence, is the mind still subservient to the intelligence here?
Depends on whether the point is intelligence is trying to ascertain what the shastra is bringing forth, or whether you're using it for your own purpose. If it's for your own purpose, the mind's in control of the intelligence. If it's for spiritual upliftment, then the intelligence is the senior.
Even if it's acting after the mind.
It doesn't matter who acts last. I mean, it's who is based on what are you making the decision, right? In other words, if I've identified that I am servant of Krishna, and I work according to Krishna's direction, then the intelligence shows us that from these options, this is according to what Krishna says. So then, because I identify with that, I will take that one. It's just like, how many times does the person, let's say, attached to smoking, think, this is not good? And then, what happens?
Yeah. Rejects and accepts again.
Yeah, because the point is that the ego is that, you know, I'm the enjoyer of this and that, you know? So until the point he identifies, his ego is, I'm not a smoker. You know what I'm saying? If someone identifies I'm a smoker and they come into a room where people are smoking, what happens?
It's automatic.
Yeah, they smoke. Let's say someone I'm not a smoker, and he comes into a room with people who are smoking. They cough, they leave, they make so many comments. Right? You know, it's like, if you wanted that much smoke, you'd go to Manchester or something, you know. You know, it's like, does it make sense?
Yes.
Sometimes I have a realization, if I have a decision to take and the mind is too attached, it's difficult, and I chant some japa, the decision becomes so simple.
Yeah, because it becomes purified. Because the mind becomes pure. That's the point. If the mind's purified, then it's good, because it's attached to idea, I'm a devotee and pleasing Krishna. Mm-hmm. Then then it's only going to acknowledge that information that is pleasing to Krishna. It's only going to reason and make a decision based on it's pleasing to Krishna. And it will listen to the intelligence as the options. Because that's the thing, is in here, you'll see so many things. You know, like we said before, is they have a skull at a particular level that dates it way, means a modern skull, in modern man's skull, that's way older than, you know, Lucy. But in their mind, it's not going to work. Because they've already accepted that, no, this is how it works, and, you know, the farther back you go, the worse it is, and this and that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they means if you take the Neanderthal skull, there are people that have that same facial features today. So that means there was also modern man back then. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Is all these different kinds prarabdha karma were always there. There's always been. Manu is right in the beginning. And they're talking about all the tribals, the fallen Kshatriya tribes, right? So cause it's always been there, right? Does that make sense? So it's like...
If we talk about Sankalpa...
You would like to talk about Sankalpa?
I don't want to.
She's getting a free treatment, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. How much does it go for?
Why I deserve it.
300.
Okay. Am I the chosen one? Why I deserve it?
Of course you're the chosen one. Your mother didn't tell you that.
Which one is the Sankalpa part?
Which one is the?
Sankalpa part. Which one of those five?
Sankalpa meaning?
That the firm decision in the mind?
Oh, that would be with the reasoning. Means with the false ego, then you come to that firm decision. So that's the problem, because it's based on false ego, it's based on ignorance. So once firm determination, if it's not, you know, in line with scriptures, you know, for devotional service, then it means that, you know, at best it can be in goodness. But generally, what we're trying for is pure goodness. Right? So when it's said that the world is functioning in passion and ignorance, because they're not actually interested in the scriptures. Because to be situated in goodness, you have to actually be following the scriptures. One could say, no, but there's the people, they live out in nature and this and that, and in harmony with nature. Yeah, but so are the animals. Mm. You know, the bird doesn't live out in nature, he's not in harmony with the, you know. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is when the human being follows scripture, that brings it to goodness. Does that work? Yeah. So then that's where you make your commitment. You've reasoned, now you've come to your conclusion. Right? So it says, by the fifth meaning is derived, this fifth thing is called reasoning. By means of reasoning, the mind discerns what the person should do and should not do. So that's where your commitment comes.
And if somebody fails, means it wasn't a strong commitment, or it had two
Maybe so many other. So I mean, it could be, but it's just
like everybody likes to start their new life from Monday, you know, something like that. From first.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. So that means 52 times a year instead of just January 1st. But the point, if you have that determination, then you keep going. But then that means you have to be able to analyze. See, if it's just a matter of sentiment, I'm doing this, but then if it didn't work, are we analyzing it? Do we take it and analyze it? Because then you have to go back into these other things. The data and the memory, okay, what did we have before? What do we have now? Then combining and separating the data, okay, what worked, what didn't work? You know, and that you're getting your impressions, and then you classify it, quiet the qualities, okay? And then again, you reduce it, and I say isolate it, increase the number again for further analysis, and then now you come to now a final, again, a conclusion, and make a determination. So that's always going on, then it's dynamic, so one can always be determined. But if one just does that once and then tries to run on that, if it's successful, great, but if it's not successful, then one becomes disheartened, right? So the point is always be thinking.
like that. You know, then it's dynamic, it's alive. Because then you're dealing with the present. Otherwise, then you're dealing with the past. Because past has to be mixed with the present. You know, and then what you want to do is with the present. You know? Which is interesting, because the past is coming from the mind, which is in the mode of goodness, but it's in the past. And then you talk about what I'm going to do in the future based on the false ego, which is actually ignorance. It's, you know, so
that's why it's not working.
Yeah, that's why it's not working. Yes.
And Maris, if one has analyzed the attachment and sees what quality of Krishna's it is, that one, why one is attached to that thing, what's the next step?
The next step is, therefore, since it is Krishna, how to engage in Krishna's service. Right? Does that make sense? And then how to improve the quality of the service for Krishna's pleasure. Right? You know? And then how to see that this whole process I'm going through is free from the desire for fruit of results or liberation. Like that. So that's the form Rupa Goswami gives, that the formula for pure devotional service. That is the formula. Right? But these are the mechanics. So if you're having problem with it, then this is the way where you can look and see where's the problem actually coming.
Yeah.
Right? Because it may be everything's going nice up to the false ego. Or it may be after the first impressions, then it's going great, but because the impressions are wrong. Like Prabhupada says, you're doing a big mathematical calculation. If one number in the beginning is wrong, the whole calculation, though done well, is wrong. The final answer is wrong. So if there's any problem in any of this, then the calculation will come out wrong. Right? But because you're connecting it to Krishna, therefore it's always on one level right. Maybe its execution wasn't the best, or the consciousness wasn't the best, but that you tried to connect it to Krishna, that's good. So if you just continue doing that, because so a lot of times devotees may do something, and because they don't see the kind of results that they expect. You know, like I remember when we were first, you know, new devotees, then the speculation was is that in 3 years you'd be a pure devotee. Right? And I heard of some temples where they said, you know, 2 max, you know. You know, so if it doesn't happen, then you think, you know, what happened here, you know? So then the you just continue at it. You're a devotee, you have that determination, that devotion, anything connected to Krishna is good, because there's nothing in the material world that's of value. That's what the neck beats mean. The material world is a place of misery. That's the determination, right? And then what to do? We take the upward path towards Krishna. That's the pundra. Right? So that's why the devotee always wears those. So therefore, because of that, how do you identify yourself? As servant of Krishna. Therefore, the name. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So these are just the basic mentality. So if one continues with that, one's determined, then results will always come. Like that. And results means becoming Krishna conscious, right? It means going through the whole Jiva Dharma. Did we discuss about, you know, anybody coming rich and famous and powerful and, you know, having a good bowel movement or, you know, anything? You know, did we discuss any of that?
The Tantra guy.
Huh?
The Tantra guy. He wanted to at least, but we kind of left him when his opponent was out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So. It's like that.
I guess it wasn't important.
No, because the point, yeah. So in other words, there's no focus on the material success. Though we see they are successful, but that's not the focus. It's just because they're pious, they're doing their duty. So from Dharma comes Artha. So they've been doing their Dharma, so naturally Artha is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we're saying, no, but I'm doing my duty, but how long were we not doing our duty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like this. If you're born in a family where your parents are following the Vedas, their parents are following the Vedas, you know, 7 generations they were following the Vedas, then you can worry about, I'm doing pious activity now, why am I not getting result? Right? You know? But if, you know, how you say, at the marriage ceremony, when you go through and go through the gotras and the names of that, and the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, it's, you know, George, Sam, and Jack, then, you know, you got a problem there. So you might have to be doing pious activities for a while before you see results. It may come quickly, it may not. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't say, I'm doing pious activities, because Yudhishthir didn't worry about that, and he's the most basically pious person on the planet. He's a PPP. Right? So, but he didn't worry when things didn't seem to go that way. Of course, his wife did, but he didn't.
Could say he's a VIPPP.
VIPPP.
Very
okay, yeah.
Highest person on the planet.
On the planet. And then you have the M in there. Most.
Oh. Yeah, we'll have to work on that.
Yes.
No, there is a certain person with the type who are like a steady foot, but who are very disturbed if the situation changes.
They're steady but disturbed. What do you mean by disturbed?
I mean if the external situation is, there is some change, they are like a, they have difficulties to adjust to the new situation. So they like a...
You mean when they stop looking at the computer screen, and when they look outside of that, then the problem starts.
Well, that's maybe one way, but...
Okay. No, it's just that, in other words, there's the element of goodness where they have a regulated life, but they can't function with anything outside of that. So there's just no experience and like that. They don't have any... There's no, basically, samskaras for that. So somehow or another, from the samskaras, a knowing regulated life is good. That's come through into this life, but they don't know how to function with things that are outside of that.
Mixture of sattva and ignorance.
It's more just lack of experience. You know, I mean, they're conditioned by goodness, so they're conditioned by goodness, so they can only handle things in goodness. You know what I'm saying? You know, the person who they grew up, you know, going to 5-star hotels, you take them out and stick them in a little motel or something, they don't know what to do. You know, so they just don't have the experience because they're conditioned by goodness. So if they're conditioned by their regulation and everything like that, so that's why in the Vedic system, everybody's supposed to be regulated. The same time as you understand the principles of why you're doing stuff, so when things do change, you can deal with it. You know what I'm saying? So the higher, the leaders of society were trained how to deal with change, because they know the material world changes. The common person thinks, no, it should always be like that. So that's why they get an anxiety and lament. You understand? Does that work?
Before we summarize these five into three, that's thinking, feeling, willing?
Thinking, yeah. Means you're, this fifth one would be the willing, that you want to do it. Then the willing would be actually doing it. Means it would be after this, then you apply what you should do and not do, and then you do it. So this one is the feeling, and before that would be the thinking. So you could say the first four are thinking. This fifth one is feeling, and then what comes after that would be the willing. Yes.
So within the thinking, there's a little touch of feeling.
It's always there. Because you're a person. You have your identity, you have your desires, you have all those things. So that's why it's said it's always one's thought process is always going to be imperfect unless it's in line with Shastra. Because it will be according to your feelings and needs. And so each person has a different set of feelings and needs, a combination. And so therefore everybody sees the world differently. And so unless there's a common standard, how do you reconcile all those differences? So the Vedic culture is the only one that can reconcile all those differences. You know what I'm saying? Means it's like, you know, in the modern society, you have your conservatives, you have your liberals, and you have all this big fight. In the Vedic, a girl wants to go out on the street, you know, half-dressed in that, it's fine. But she's just called a society girl. You can do whatever you like. Who cares? You know, the other girls that are more conservative, they don't do that. And it's not that you can do that, but you have to re-identify. But what people want to do is they want to say, I can do everything I want but maintain the whatever social status I want. No, it's you do whatever you want, you get the social status connected with what you do. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is people aren't willing to actually commit to, you know, it means in other words, they want to do whatever they want, but they don't want to take the responsibility for it. They want the rights, but they don't want the obligations. Right? You know, like the king, he has the power, but then he has the obligation to protect. You know, or the businessman wants to make money. That's his right, but his obligation is to give in charity and pay taxes and take care of his dependents. You know? So right there, charity is going to, you know, poor people and to Brahmins. Taxes are going to the kings. Right? His dependents are everybody that helps him in the business and his family. So basically you've covered all four varnas. Right? So he shares his money. So he has the right to make it, but he has the obligation to engage it in this way. But he wants the right to make as much money, but not give anything away to anybody. That's where the problem comes, is that people aren't willing to take that position. Right? You know, and you can say, is it, you know, it's this and that, but it's only socially. It has that element. But otherwise, 11th canto means one of the elements of someone who becomes self-realized was Pingala, who's a society girl. In other words, through her occupation, she was able to see it in relation to the Lord and become self-realized. Right? You understand? So that's the thing, is that but she has no problem identifying there. Right? When you go into Dwarka, you have society girls, right? When Krishna comes into Dwarka, all the different people are there. But there's ladies right there in the front. Who are those ladies? Those are the society girls. Right? The other ladies are on the rooftops and this and that. You have to understand, it's your own rooftop. You know? So you can see God from your own rooftop. You know what I'm saying? So there's not a problem with this. The Vedic society accommodates all of this. Like it's just like if you know, you go to any, you know, major city of the world. Let's say you go to Washington D.C. or Paris or London, and somebody walks down the street naked. What happens? Right. Yeah. But I've been in Delhi so many times, and you see a guy, you know, walking down the street totally naked. Nobody even cares. Nobody even looks. He's doing his thing, and they're doing theirs, and everybody's just going on. Nobody cares. Because the point is I would not walk down the street naked. He wants to walk down the street naked, cool, but I'm not doing it. You know, but the modern thing is no, you know, for me to walk down the street naked, you know, everybody has to walk down the street naked. That's the thing. And it's like, who cares, you know? You know, you're liberated, you're gay, you're this, you're that. Who cares, you know? You know what I'm saying? Is there a heterosexual march? You know, 1 million heterosexuals march on Washington D.C. You know,
Perhaps in the future.
Yeah, they're a minority, right? Yeah. So the point is that who cares? But these guys just no. But everybody's got to be. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, that's just false ego. So it's all a social thing. The point is, the Vedic is like, you want to be like, who cares? Like that, but it has its place. So that's the whole thing. You want the one thing, it's the other there. You know, you want to be married, you pay the mortgage. You don't want to pay mortgages, don't get married. It's easy. Yeah. So it just all goes together. So the Vedic system can accommodate the whole thing. So, but the mode of ignorance tries to make it look like, no, it's the repressive, you know, old-fashioned, this and that. We're dealing with the new, modern. No, they're just dealing with all new, modern means is the very philosophy. When we start philosophy, we start with that because it's the lowest grade of philosophy. It's all about me and what I want to do. Because whose rights is it? It's my rights. And who's the victim? I'm the victim. So where's anybody else fit into it? You know? In other words, everybody else is obligated. It's all about my rights and everybody else's obligation. That's modern liberalism. You know what I'm saying? Its strength is that it is accommodating individual thought, while the conservative doesn't. But the conservatives has a value system that's something that you could socially work together with. You could actually create a community. It means conservatives get together and actually live together and interact with each other. The liberals? Hardly. You know? That's why they have to go on marches. They don't have any social structure. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is it's not seen. So the Vedic accommodates both of these. It all blends in, but it's only the Vedic can do that. You know? So the liberal is anything that has authority is archaic. And then the conservatives, it's their brand of conservatism, that's the thing, and any other kind is not good. You know, so they're both weak. So only devotional service can actually bring the whole thing together. Does that make sense? So that's why one has to base one's whole this whole thought process on Shastra. Then you have a common ground, because we were saying community means common ground. So where's that community going to come from? Because everybody has the same value system. So if the value system is the authority of the Veda, then you have community. Like, would you say the Hindus have community? Because they accept the Veda. Mm-hmm. Now, they may not have philosophy, so it's sentimental. But they have community. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that you should have philosophy and community. Mm-hmm. Right? That's balanced. Is that okay? Yeah. So it comes, you know, just technically explained. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No? Would you like to ask a question? Are you repressing yourself by not asking the question?
Satisfied.
Okay.
Mars. Because you said everything has to be based on the Shastra, so then everything's based on the Shastra, but what makes then some devotees then be sampradayic and then some...
Because it means it's based on the Veda, but the point is the Veda is Krishna. And so how do you approach Krishna? Directly?
Through the Guru.
Through the devotees. Like that. So you connect yourself with the devotees, so therefore there's a line of how you interpret the Veda. Because Krishna being everything, there's so many things that you could draw from that particular, any situation. So the Sampradaya will mean how you look at it, what viewpoint. It's not that, you know, it's not of the four sampradayas, one's right, one's wrong. It's just that that viewpoint gets this result, or that viewpoint gets that result. So it's what result you want to get. So we're interested in Vrindavan. This line gives that. You know. Okay. Wow. Okay. Sense knowledge. Indriya jnana. Oh, Indriyarta Jnana. You see what just happened? We probably discussed whatever is going to be discussed in these next pages, you know, all in the one paragraph. Because then the next thing is sense knowledge.
We have 5 minutes to go through.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There are many types of material science: physics, electronics, medicine, physiology, optics, music, logic, and psychology. Through material science, industries and manufacturing methods have been discovered. Science and industry working together have produced huge progress: railway systems, electrical networks, ships and architecture. I left that for you. cabbages and the sealing wax. Okay, all are derived from such sense knowledge. And ships and shoes and sealing wax and cabbages and kings. No?
American.
Musical.
Through the Looking Glass.
Not
familiar. Lewis Carroll.
Yes, familiar but not.
Oh, okay, not that. Okay. The geography, chronology, astronomy, zoology, geology, and surgery are all sense knowledge. Those who want to remain locked in this knowledge think it is real knowledge or positive knowledge. But since the very nature of man is that he does not desire to remain trapped in this limited knowledge, he aspires for higher knowledge. Chaitanya Shikshamrita 5.3. Now here's all these things that he's mentioned, right? Physics, electronics, medicine, psychology, optics, music, logic, all these things. These were going on before, because this is mid-1800s. So they were dabbling with, you know, the electrical and this and that, doing weird things, right? Because it was back in the 1700s that they were out playing with kites and, you know, in the storms and getting zapped, you know, stuff like that. So then they figured out there's better ways to apply. Like that. Okay, so those who want to remain locked in this knowledge, so that answers what you're saying before, is they want to remain there because they identify with it, they're comfortable with that, they're comfortable with the results they get from that. So they want to remain there, so they'll say, this is the real knowledge, right? Just like, let's say, anything that anybody's doing, they'll say, this is the real activity. You know, whatever sport anyone's into, this is the real sport. Or whatever knowledge, this is the real knowledge. Or whatever kind of sense gratification, that's the real sense gratification. You know? Does that make sense? You know, you have two people, you know, you want somebody, I'll take you to, I'll show you real food, right? And one will take you, you know, to the Voltaire, and the other one will take you down to the little corn dog place on the corner. You know, like that. So it's whatever situation you're trapped in, you'll take that sensual knowledge, this is everything. Does that make sense?
Corn dog is a sausage in a donut? Kind of
corn dog, I think it's covered with some kind of breaded corn, a cornbread thing and deep fried, and it's on a stick.
Yeah. Wow. Just for our international audience.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I heard about deep fried butter.
Deep fried butter?
Oh, yeah.
Butter stick and then deep fried.
Batter fried.
Batter fried. Yeah. But that means they just drop it in and take it out.
Yeah.
In Scotland, yeah. Mars bars.
Deep fried Mars bars.
Yeah, you can go in with your favorite chocolate bar and then they'll batter it and then put it in the thing. Bounty, Twix, Mars.
What? Turtles?
Yeah, but very high heart disease rate in Scotland.
In Scotland?
Yeah.
Okay. Be sure it's that, it's not the haggis.
Yeah.
Haggis. Everything fried.
Okay.
Sense knowledge.
So you're saying they should eat more turnips?
Yeah. Or drink less.
Yeah. That's the point. If they drank less, so the liver would be stronger, then they can digest it all that. Okay. While material logic and reason may help in the material arena, it has no capacity to grasp spiritual reality. Right? So here's the things when we say, no, but it can do so much for us. Yes, that's okay. But then there's the spiritual, right? Because what is modern technology and science? People that argue for it, you know, that it's very important. What facilities does it supply?
Grants.
Huh? No, grants, that's for them. But I'm saying, what does it do for the people in general? You know, according to them. Yes, sounds good for a facility. We have phones, we have transportation, you know, people can, you know, all these things. But what does all that deal with? On what level does it deal? The physical, yeah, the anamoy. That's all it's dealing with. Or you can extend that to the pranamoy. All the pranamoy is, the difference between anamoy and pranamoy is the same thing, whether it's selfish or whether it's extended, that's all. But it's the same stuff. It means that the gross materialist and that what do you call it? The extended there was
altruist.
The altruist is the same. The goals are exactly the same. It's just a matter of whether you get it for yourself or you share it.
Yeah.
Right? It's only then when you get to the third level that now we start, you know, okay, what is the actual nature of things in the world, right? Because that means that there's a God who has created that inherent nature. You can't change that. That's what Manu was saying. What is the nature of something at the beginning of creation? That's the way it's going to be till the end of creation, right? So that means however the 8,400,000 species are, the different ways of being born, the different realms of, you know, the flat land, the mountains, the oceans, the air, you know, the woodlands, the fields, like that, is all been created before Brahma's creation, and it will continue like that up until Mahavishnu breathes in. Right? It can't change because that's its inherent nature. That's Dharma. So then, therefore, because that's the way it is, okay, I have to accept that now. What can I do with it? Because what is the liberal is thinking? I can change that. I don't have to be bound by that. I'm free to do whatever I want. Great, go on the roof and fly. You know? Like that. You know, you're complaining about, you know, everyone's control and everything like this. And they, so just fly. I mean, so much cheaper, right? You know, just for life like that. You know how expensive it is, you know, to fly these days? Take a taxi, you know, it's getting caught in jam. Just fly there. You know, go out, flap your arms like that, you know. Yeah, that seemed to work for Francis, you know, so. No? Assisi? I got some really weird samskaras here. Right? Alice in Wonderland at one end, Francis Assisi at the other. And nobody knows what I'm talking about.
There's also Francis the Flying Nun.
Francis the Flying Nun?
But that's from the 60s.
Her name was Francis?
TV show.
Oh, I was thinking about that. But Julie Andrews. Mary Poppins, but she wasn't a nun. She could fly. She used an umbrella.
The widely read Mara.
And for me, I thought that was just how everybody was. Okay. While material logic and reason may help in material arena, it has no capacity to grasp spiritual reality. That's the weakness there. So we're not saying that material knowledge is bad for material stuff. It means you want to maintain the body if they've developed all these areas of science and physics and that, and makes it work. You can go and hit a switch, your light's on. Great. But the point is, what's that do for you spiritually? What's that do for the soul? That's where the weakness is. Okay, that's great. And now what about you? Right? Nice. It's done nice thing. The body is taken care of. The mind may be taken care of. But what about the soul? That's where its weakness is. It can't go beyond. That's why we say is that this process of the mental speculation cannot know God. Because it's limited to just what information the senses bring in and what you deal with it. So unless you put in transcendental information, you know what I'm saying? Like if we have a grinding machine, what does it grind?
Whatever
you put in. So if you only put in material, you'll only get material. You put in spiritual, then you get that. So that's the weakness.
Prabhupada also makes the point many times that by developing all this complexity, we just get more entangled.
Yes. Yeah. Because we think the body is so much more important. We're working hard for the body. Because people are working for money. They're not even working for relationships. In the back of their mind, they feel they are, but how is it being manifest? You know what I'm saying? Because if I only provide facility, you know what I'm saying, then you know, let's say, I'm so busy going out shopping and buying things for the kitchen, nice vegetables, first-class spices, the best quality pans, I'm replacing the burners and counters and contacts, I'm constantly upgrading the kitchen, you know, like that. But I'm never cooking any food. So is the rest of the house going to be happy? No, they got to have food. So the whole point of having a nice kitchen is to cook food. People forget that. So they're only creating facility, but not relationship. Right? You know, in Calcutta, there's a plastic tarp, you know, with a tire on the roof, like that. And there's a whole family in there, you know? And they have interaction and this and that. You know, it's probably a little easier because, you know, it's one room, so everybody's there. So. You can't really get away. And if you don't get along, you got problem, you know. Because otherwise, you're out on the sidewalk, you know. Yeah, you go sleep on the sidewalk. You know, the other houses say, hey, go to your room. No, say, yeah, go sleep on the sidewalk. You know, so there is only one room. So, but, you know, the point is the relationships can function there. So if you know what you're doing, if the facilities improve, the relationships can still function. But the point is, facilities are so relationships can happen. Right? But we take that for granted and don't actually, you know, how you say it? Act in them. That's why you have intelligence, means you can discriminate and actually tell. Somebody's done something, this, that. Okay. Yeah? Yeah, so that means, what do we do? Oh, we got through the next paragraph. See? Yeah,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaurapremi.